This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show, where spa life is a lifestyle that accepts that accomplishment and harmony coexist. We speak with leaders about living a life of intention and one where we can expand into doing the things we are here to do in the world. I am so excited to share with you our special guest, which is A.G. Morishita, is the founder of Movement Makers, which is a mission to empower leaders to start a movement to impact millions of lives. A.G., welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Diane. Really excited about being here. So thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to just jump in about your purpose because it's so engaging. I mean, you're here to ignite souls to step into their calling and to share their wisdom without apology. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, my purpose is to really where it came about is I love the word ignite. And originally I was in high tech and making great money in high tech recruiting during the dot-com days. Then I went to my first personal development seminar. And in that, I saw Tony Robbins take a young woman whose eyes were dead and through a 45-minute intervention brought the light back into her eyes. And at that moment, I thought, wow, that's magic. I want to do that. And so I've always been passionate about helping people light and get the light back into their eyes because I battled through depression and suicidal thoughts after the dot-com crash. That's my purpose is to help ignite people, put the light back into their eyes, and also share their wisdom. I believe each one of us has a real important message to share to the world. And for us to share without apology, without hemming or hawing, and just say it and stand in the power of it because we do have such a unique message to give.
You know, I love that about how you've created community around this. And I love how you share that, you yourself have had experienced things that haven't been always rosy, but to really, see how you can step into more of your wisdom and doing this through a movement, have people really step into why they're really here. And I know you've been involved in several movements, particularly the spread of the sushi movement in North America and building, bottle schools in Guatemala. How did you get involved in those?
Well, one was being born into it. So my great-grandparents started the restaurant back in 1929. And then in the 60s, we, along with another family and a distribution company, brought the sushi bar concept over to America. And just like any new idea, at first, it faced ridicule. Like when I went to school in the 80s, they're all, that's not food, that's fish bait. And people brought their brown paper bag lunches, and I had my bento box. And so at first I was felt like totally different, like totally outcasted. And then over a while, it just started spreading. And, you had the celebrities and the creatives and musicians, the early adopters started adopting it, eating rolls. Sushi became really for the cool. And then it started picking up steam where now it's in school cafeterias, 7-Elevens. Almost now it's like, for little kids, they want sushi in their lunch boxes now. And so I've been blessed to be born into one. And then the Guatemala Bottle School Project, what's interesting about that project was it started in San Diego, right in your backyard. So I was at a seminar event called Spirit of Greatness, and we had a class project. And someone had the idea of they were inspired by seeing the YouTube video of a man showing free hugs in Europe and stuff, and say, let's just do it in San Diego. So we went to Mission Beach and started creating these free hugs t-shirts and signs and getting local news. People were so excited what we were able to do together. It's amazing what a small group of people, like 30, 40 of us, when we pull our resources together and work together, in 3 days, we had a website up. We started raising money for charity. We got news. And then after the event, a core team developed saying, wow, that's so cool. I want to continue. I want to serve. And so they went to Europe and then they went to Guatemala. And in Guatemala, they found out the bigger issue. And the key lesson I learned is you don't need to see the whole vision. You just need to have the feeling like I got to do this. And then one step leads to another. And the bigger vision was shown where in Guatemala, the streets were littered in trash. And someone had the crazy idea of saying, hey, let's take these unrecyclable plastic bottles, stuff the trash inside the bottles, and then make schools out of them. So they put chicken wire, all these bottles, and then Dovi. And now over 50 schools have been created in Guatemala. So kids have a place to play, to sleep, to study, especially in Central America where there's a lot of rain. So I think that's the one thing is like, we don't need to see the whole picture. We just need to just go with that feeling. And those are the two key lessons that I've seen is just, you know, just go with the vision and go with the feeling first, and it'll be shown to you and people come into your life.
Yeah, I think that is so amazing. You know, it's such a great example for our listeners to hear that you can have this one idea and you don't have to have it all figured out. You know, you want to surround yourself with people because the synergy of collaborating together to make things happen. I mean, there's such a fine line between, you know, something being weird versus it being cutting edge and it taking off. And I've seen you, AG, be a master at creating community, and particularly around Movement Makers community. And this community has been featured on Oprah, the New York Times bestsellers list, you know, Today Show, Good Morning America, and TED. Stepping into this as a leader in community and surrounding yourself with people is such a rewarding experience. How is it, you know, I know that you've got some background in terms of like in your college years where you rallied around community, that community has really been a foundation around who you are and why you build communities. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I went to undergrad at UC Berkeley in Northern California, and I found housing was a big issue for students, and in Berkeley and Bay Area, and you know, housing was really high. And so I got into the students cooperatives. It's the Berkeley student co-ops. And what was amazing is this community by, you know, we were able to pull our resources. And the thing is, we all had more for less. And all we had to do our part, where each one of us had to do 5 hours of what's called work shift hours and donate to the house. Some people cook dinner, some people clean, some people made breakfast, some people, you know, stocked the candy machine and stuff. Everyone had their own role and did their part. And so we were able to have way more for way less. So it's just unbelievable in terms of what's possible. Like, for example, a typical one bedroom apartment in Berkeley back in the 90s was about $1,200 to $1,500. And you could live in the co-ops for 4.5 months, a full semester, for about $1,700. And that includes all the food you can eat and all the drink that you can drink. And it was a lot of fun. So I just saw that it was a unique way where we could pull our resources together. And this is how Costco's been built. And, you know, it's just interesting going back to the vision piece is everything as far as the idea. Google had no idea they were going to become Google. Facebook had no idea they're going to become Facebook. But as they started taking the action, their vision got expanded and they started knowing more and seeing more and being people who could see and share the vision. But very rarely do someone say have the perfect vision right from the get-go. But the student co-ops is, you know, cooperative living, I think that, and cooperation is going to come back and it's gaining in popularity because there's a lot of people doing it alone, and also that there's a lot of redundancy. Like, not everyone has to have electricity or so for one, but there's a way to pull like the people who use the same things over and over again.
Right, right. I agree. I think, you know, utilizing your community and, you know, really focusing on the things that are just your strengths and then having other people do their things and coming together just makes so much more sense. And one of the things that, you know, we also talk about, and I find this just fascinating in just having a vision and starting with just that first step with it. And, you know, AJ is part of this. You know, so many people just live a life of default. You know, they just let things happen. And so part of the Spotlight conversation, we talk about living your life by design. And so what are some of the things that you do to consciously create your life, which I call your Spotlight?
Yeah, I love that. I love that because I truly believe that life must be designed. And it's a co-creation because I'm very spiritual. I have a very strong spiritual foundation. So we design it and we consciously choose what we desire and what we want. And then spiritually, spirit shows us indirectly from our direct action what our course, what our true natural purpose is. Because when we live in our natural purpose, just like an acorn turns into an oak tree. No one would have any idea that one little acorn could turn into a mighty oak. But when we're put in the right natural environment, and I know you're the master and in environments, that I think it's really important to design our life in various categories of our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health. And because first we focus on designing a life of health. And once we have health, then we could focus on wealth. because you could be physically wealthy with all these talented gifts and, you know, physical abilities, but if you don't have physical health, that wealth is going to become worthless. And you can have a lot of mental wealth and be a genius and brilliant what you do, but if you don't have your mental health, that's going to go lost as well. So I feel like it's by conscious design, you know, designing our calendars. And one thing is I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and one of the best things about, you know, it's a joke, it's like one of the best things about being an entrepreneur is being your own boss. And one of the worst things about being an entrepreneur is being your own boss, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the greatest freedoms we have is to set our own hours. But you'd be surprised how many entrepreneurs do not set their own hours. They just say, it's 24 hours a day and it's when I feel like it. And while that can work for some, for most people, if you schedule it and set it up, like, this is me time. So I'd let my family or clients know when I schedule my own private time, say, oh, I have another appointment. And that appointment could be for me to get a massage, or for me to go out and go swimming and just go to the ocean or connect with nature. So I think that's one of the key things that's really helped me the most is really choosing when, making myself my most important client and in my business.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here in Spa Life, about, you know, designing and being conscious around it, and to be unapologetic that one of the appointments on your calendar is that appointment with yourself, that extreme self-care that, you know, you and I have talked about quite a bit. Maybe you're, you know, to listen to your inner voice, to know that, hey, I may need a nap, or I need to spend time with my family, or, you know, those appointments that we have with ourselves are crucial to our life. And to continue to default to have everyone else be more important, it's not selfish. It's really allowing yourself to be the best that you can be so that you can actually serve on a much deeper level. So I'd love, along the same line, for you to talk a little bit more about your decision to integrate your spirituality, family, and business.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, going to designing my schedule, you know, so I love taking a half day off on Wednesdays and a half day off on Fridays so I could have more time with my kids and my family. And one of the key things is that I truly believe spirituality and your business doesn't have to be separate. It can be integrated. And when you allow your business to be purpose-driven and your way to give value to the world, I think magic happens, because most people build businesses just for their own, to meet their own personal needs. But when we make our business greater than ourselves, when it's bigger, then we can enroll other people to join our mission, join our vision. And we have volunteers and people and support coming from the woodworks. So, and also a family and business, you know, so one of the things is I do live events, and I bring my family to my live events as much as possible. And I make a decision. So one of the things is this, is whenever I go speak, and for example, if I speak on the East Coast and my family's not with me, I made an internal decision, and I share this when I speak, is that if I'm not with my family, then, and I'm speaking somewhere else, I better be making a huge impact. And that's the decision I made, because I'm not going to waste any time, because any time that is outside my family, I got to make it count. And that's what's really important to me. And I love integrating two things, like physical activity with my kids. So I get both. I get to play with them, I get to swim with them, or I get to go do physical activity. So I get my physical health piece in order while quality time with my kids. I don't believe in multitasking, but I love stacking, where you're doing two things at one time. So when I'm driving, fortunately, I made a conscious decision to have my office about 10 minutes away from my home, so I don't have to deal with the commute. But when I do have longer drives, or to a meeting or to an event, then I'm using my Audible. So I'm feeding my mind. So I'm doing two things at one time. Or if I'm at the gym on a treadmill, I'm listening to audiobooks. I'm listening to feed my mind and doing multiple things, because actually I'm hooked on getting multiple things done at the same time, but not in a multitasking where I have to switch gears all the time. It's more about what can I do where I could pass, where my mind is not being used when I'm running, so I could listen, or when I'm driving. So those are some things that's been really helpful.
Right. I love that distinguishing comment between, you know, multitasking can be a very scattering endeavor, but the idea of stacking, of really allowing yourself to expand and to be more present in the moment and using multiple aspects of yourself, not in a fragmented way, but actually in an integrative way. So I love that distinguishing aspect. And speaking of stacking, you know, what is something I know you've shared before about some of the things that you do with doing the opposite that the masses do in order to utilize your time better with your family?
Oh, absolutely. So I hate lines. I mean,
I'm with you.
I hate lines. And, you know, I love the carpool lane. I have my own fast track machine. So I could, even if I'm a single rider, I could drive in the fast lane, because I think that's just unwasted energy. And one of the things, especially traveling, is I like to take days off midweek, and especially taking vacations. The best times to take a vacation is right after a 3-day weekend, because right afterwards it's completely empty. You have the whole resort to yourself. And if you go on when everyone else goes, like on a Memorial Day weekend or President's Day weekend or Labor Day weekend, you're facing tons of traffic driving to and back from the resort. You're facing long lines at the airport. You're facing long lines at the resort. The pools are crowded. And I prefer, and you get better rates and you save a ton of money as well by going just right afterwards. And also, I'm very energetically sensitive, and I'm sure you are too. It's like I could feel, you know, I like it when it's very spacious and stuff. And so for some reasons, I kind of do some on holidays, on like Labor Day or so, I take maybe a few hours and get some really productive time done, because the masses are on vacation. So the energy is a little bit lighter. So I could be much more productive, much more focused and in flow. And then when people are going back to work, that's when I want to unwind.
That's just brilliant. I mean, I love that shift in energy and allowing yourself space on both the work front and the family front. So I absolutely love that. So I know also you are consciously choosing who you work with and what projects that you do. And I know that, you know, you really focus on choosing those that are exciting and fulfilling. You know, how is it that you go about that process? Because I know a lot of people, again, kind of go into a default where they'll take anything and everything on. But this is also another area that you're conscious about.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a criteria in who I take on as clients. And this is how I believe it should be. If you have a coaching or consulting business or any service-based business, it really ideally is that you're only taking on the juiciest projects, the projects that make you come alive, because I don't believe in trading your joy for money, because otherwise we make money our God instead of our higher power, and or that money is more important than our happiness, or money is more important than our fulfillment. I think that, you know, the more fulfilled and more happy we are, the money flows in as well. And so it's consciously choosing what are the juicy projects. So I love working with ambitious entrepreneurs who want to change the world. They tend to have big dreams and desires, and they do have a track record of achieving their goals. And so what I do is I have an ideal client profile, qualities that I look for. I look for people who are ambitious. I look for people who take responsibility, so they're not blaming their past teachers or mentors. Like, they know that their success is up to them as well. So they're willing to do the work, that they're willing to invest in themselves, that they're able to want to make a big difference. The big thing that drives me is that it's part of their purpose and they want to make a big impact, like not just a little bit, but they want to make a huge impact. And those are the projects. So for example, you know, we spoke not too long ago, and one of our clients, she and her husband's company provided satellite communication and was the first one up and running to provide satellite communication to first responders at Hurricane Harvey in Texas for the Texas Forestry Service. So it feels good that my efforts is being the ripple effect. The impact is being duplicated. So I look for people who I can make an impact with in their personal lives and professional lives, and know that they're going to create a ripple effect. And that's how I know that the time spent here on this planet is well served.
I find that so riveting, because when you've got people that are ambitious and excited and really here to make a big difference, I mean, those are really fun people to work with and to have that in your sphere. Now, I know sometimes, and our listeners may be thinking of this, when we talk about bigger visions and ambitions, sometimes that can feel a little bit of like forceful energy. And I'd love you to talk about how you allow the natural timing versus forcing, because there's a flow that comes into this. You can be ambitious and be in flow. So I'd love you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's been one of the most difficult lessons I've learned through my life, is to allow flow. Because I think most people artificially force things and do things faster. It's like massive action. But at a certain point, you get our results and our efforts aren't equal. So we need to let go and let that space come about. And so it's really learning the gestation period, just like we have two young children and you know, we can't expect my wife to say, hey, you're pregnant and pop a baby out in 3 months and have it be fully grown. It just doesn't make sense. So it's learning strategically to space things out. And also for those of you who market, you know, if you're doing a big project or so, now the time period is you want to warm up your audience about 90 days before and prep them beforehand so that they're warmed up before you do it. So it's an old Harvey McKay quote of dig your wells before you're thirsty. So you want to build those relationships. You want to do the prep work. So when you're ready to launch, then you've already had a ready-made audience. And most people come out and say, hey, I'm ready to launch now, but they haven't built those relationships.
Right. Got that. It's so impressive to see how you've weaved this in and out of your house. I so appreciate that. You know, I'd love to know, like, what are some of the trends that you see that people need to pay attention to?
Well, I think the number one trend is we're in the we generation. Every 40 years, we go from me, like the me generation, thinking about self and materialism, to the we generation, which is more altruistic and community-based. So in World War II, we were in the we, where people, men gave up their identities to go into war and be in the military, while women took off and became Rosie the Riveter and things like that. And then in the 80s or so, the me generation was all about fancy cars, making the most as you can, like Wall Street with Gordon Gekko and Greed is Good. Now we moved into the we generation again. But what's interesting about this we generation is this we generation, it's the we, but we're not giving up our uniqueness. It's integrating our uniqueness with the we. So you're going to see a rise in activism. And I believe that more social movements will occur and start in the next 10 years than any other time in history, because we're primed and ready. And if you look at the natural events, disasters, the things that are popping up and the social issues that are coming up, you're seeing a rise of activism on all fronts. And so that's something to pay attention to. And because we're in this generation, we're looking for more leaders to lead these movements. And we're looking for more leaders to lead because, you know, no matter what happens, where in any room, any nation, any group you're in, there's always a leader. And if you're not leading it, someone else is. And we all have a unique movement to lead in some way.
Right, right. Well, I find that it's exceptional how you and Chico have been, you know, involving your children and your family in your life and in your movement. And, you know, I love this kind of like the me within the we, if you will, of happening here. What are some tips that you have for parents?
Well, I think the key thing for parents, and this is not my idea, one of the first things I've done is ask other parents who've walked the path before me and do my market research and figure out what works, what didn't work, and what works at this age. And I think the biggest thing is realizing that we have to see our kids as individuals. They're not just my son or my daughter. They're Taiga and Emma as individuals. And as a wise soul shared with me, I forgot who specifically, but shared with me that they are our spiritual teachers. They're here to teach us because as children, they're perfection. They're really, when I go out, it's my stuff coming up of what I have to deal with, learning how to be more patient or what's going on. And so I'm chipping away what's not me, chipping away my imperfections so that I could be more like the childlike self as my children. Children are brilliant in terms of helping us remember to play. And a lot of the entrepreneurs that I work with, they consider their work to be play and they play at work, but they also need time for non-work play, you know, and non-work fun. And so children as our spiritual teachers is probably the biggest thing, and learn from other people who walk the path. And I think those are some key things, and engage them, involve them. And I truly believe like my daughter, my son will make a greater impact far more than I can ever will. And my job is to just get out of the way, in a sense, not get out of the way, but more allow them to grow naturally.
Right. Oh, I think this is so important. I mean, I've seen this in my own children as well as in my grandchildren. I mean, sometimes the things that come out of their mouth, I mean, talk about stopping you in your tracks. I mean, they are such wisdom that comes to them here. So I love that about seeing them in their complete package, that really there's probably more for us to learn from them than we can ever teach them. So I appreciate that conversation. So
awesome.
One of the things, AG, also is in Spa Life, and the conversation that we have is around your home and what we've created in our home. And, you know, we want to have a different experience in our bedrooms versus our kitchens versus our family room. And so I'd love to ask you, what is your favorite room and why?
Well, my favorite room by far is the kitchen. It's because growing up in a family where we grew up in the restaurant industry, the kitchen is where we really connect, hang out, and food is a vehicle for love. I love cooking for my family. I don't cook every day, but when I do, it's coming from love. As children, you know, my mom made food and it was all coming from love. So while they weren't vocally saying, I love you, it was shown through their actions and through their food. And so whenever I go to dinner parties or social events, I'm always around the kitchen area because it's a great place and for connection because, you know, nothing allows you to connect with other people than breaking bread together. And because we're used to that family kind of environment or that energy around family. And family doesn't have to be biological, you know. It's like we have people who we consider family who aren't blood related. But by far it's the kitchen because I think it's a place of nourishment. It's a place of connection. And also food is like a vehicle for love.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, one of my soul sisters, Liana, has always shared with us that life happens between the kitchen and the bathroom.
You know? That's hilarious.
That's where everybody gathers and that's where the conversations are had and that's where the life and experience happens. And so I found that to be true. So I totally appreciate that as well. So I know our listeners are going to want to connect with you further. How can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, to get to know more and check out our community, just go to movementmakers.org, movementmakers.org. And from there, you'll have access to resources, articles, and we're bringing up a new community that you could join and be part of the movement and absolutely complimentary. And we have some resources out there. So yeah, our movementmakers.org would be a great place for people to check out more.
Oh, absolutely. Well, definitely listeners, check that out. I'm personally part of the Movement Makers community and have experienced, you know, how people have really support each other in that. And there's always some, you know, great goodness that comes out of that. So definitely check that out at movementmakers.org. And if you also would like to explore more about, you know, this conversation that we're talking about with Spa Life and looking at all of the elements and environments in your life to support you in that, I also have a free resource for you. And you can go to dianehoffman.com/guide and you'll be able to get the 9 secrets to step into your spa life so that you can see how you can incorporate some of these things. And as, you know, AG spoke about, you don't have to know the whole vision. Just look at some of the things, just that first step. You know, one of my favorite quotes is by Clement Watt, take the first step, no more, no less, and the next step will be revealed. This resource will help you in looking at that, how you can create your spa life for you. So with that, AG, thank you so much for connecting with our community and all of your pearls of wisdom.
Thank you, Diane. I really, really enjoyed being here.
Oh, wonderful. And to your listeners, until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now.
Your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehalfman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE, chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.